360 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
And good morning, North State. This is KCNR 1460 AM Radio, your community radio station. This is Trish Clark and co-host Ken Murray.
Good morning, Trish. Good morning, all.
We are here. Carl and Linda are in Europe, and so Ken and I have been with you all week long. It seemed like Thursday to me all week long, but we're finally at Friday, and that's a good thing because now I don't have to get up at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. That's a really great thing. So we hope you're listening out there and that you're going to join us at 605-4567 or jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com. And we're going to go first to Susan Eatman at Wells Fargo Advisors. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Trish and Ken. Good morning, everyone. Well, major averages are starting out lower this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is off 5 points at 17,033. The S&P 500 is off 3 points at 1989, and the NASDAQ Composite down 3 points at 4,528. The three most actively traded stocks on the New York Stock Exchange, Bank of America down a nickel at 1611, General Electric off 17 cents, trading at 2626, Nokia down 8 cents at $8.17. For local stocks of interest, PG&E up 7 cents at 45.92, PepsiCo positive 16 cents, trading at 92.21, Safeway up a penny at $34.61. In the bond department, the 10-year Treasury note is priced to yield 2.39%. And for commodities, gold is up $3 an ounce at $12.78, silver off 2 cents at $19, and crude oil down 68 cents, trading at $93 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Well, thank you, Susan. You can listen for our Wells Fargo Advisors weekday mornings, 7, 10, 8, 10, and 9:05 here on KCNR, brought to you by Wells Fargo Advisors. You can give them a call at 243-7561.
Okay, and it's 64 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a sunny with a high near 92 today, low around 64 this evening, clear 95 on Saturday and 95 on Sunday. Going to be in the 90s. Doesn't look like we're going to get the 100 degrees, and that's okay with me for the rest of the week. And we'll go now for a little live read before we go back to people.
Yes. Well, our weather is always sponsored by Shasta Gas Propane. They're family-owned and operated. So you can give them a call at 365-3793. And now it is time for Haven Humane with Spencer. Good morning, Spencer.
Good morning.
How are you?
And good morning, Kitty.
I'm great.
Yeah. As you can tell, you might be able to hear a little kitty purring in the background.
This is the second time this week we've had a wild animal in the room.
Oh, this one's not very wild, though.
Well, so far, it isn't climbing the walls like that last one was.
Baby bobcat?
Yeah.
So this morning I brought Silver with me. Silver is a three-month-old domestic short hair mix, gray in color, not quite a Russian blue because if you look at her eyes, they're more of a yellow instead of the green. He's a great cat. I brought him with me this morning for a couple reasons. Number one being, at our shelter, we haven't been doing very many kitten adoptions. We haven't had very many kittens coming through our doors, and everybody's been asking us, when are you going to get your kittens? Well, they have arrived. We have, right now at our Morgan Adoption Center, we probably have about 15 to 20 kittens between the age of 2 months up to 6 months of age that are looking for new forever homes. So we finally have kittens, so make sure you all stop by the shelter and check out our supply of kittens that we have here. Silver is about 3 months old. He's fully potty trained. He is great with all other animals, and he's ready to go to a new forever home.
Okay, so remind everybody, Spencer, how they get to you and how they can contact you for information.
So we're at 7449 East Side Road, which is just about a half mile south of Wind River Casino on the opposite side of the road. We are open to view the animals from 11 to 5, Monday through Saturday. And Our phone number is 241-1653. If you get lost, you can give us a call. Anybody over the phone would be more than happy to give you directions.
And direct you in.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's good news that you haven't had very many kittens. It means the spay and neutering program is working.
It is working. You know, just alone at our vet, we do over 5,000 spays and neuters a year. So it really is working. And we try to promote it as often as possible. Spay and neuter all of your pets. There's so many homeless animals sitting in our shelter, not just our shelter, but shelters all over the world, that they're homeless because people aren't spaying and neutering their pets. If everybody had their animals spayed or neutered, there would be no need for an animal shelter. And so that's what we're moving forward and trying to accomplish, is to one day, hopefully, we won't be needed.
Well, and we certainly hope that it happened, especially with the kittens, because we've had a real issue in Shasta County with too many kittens. So I want to encourage everybody to have their kittens sprayed and neutered immediately.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks so much, Spencer. We appreciate you coming in.
Thank you for having us. You guys have a great weekend.
We're now joined in the studio, a special guest this morning, with Clint Snyder. Clint is the Assistant Executive Officer of the Regional Water Quality Control Board. They are a board of the California Environmental Protection Agency. Good morning, Clint.
Good morning.
One of those agencies we all love to hate.
Unfortunately, that's sometimes the case.
You have an office in Redding. How many employees do you? How many people do you employ in Redding?
We employ about 40 in the Redding office, 222 region wide.
So region, and you're the head guy of the region?
No. Assistant executive officer. So they're my boss is the executive officer of the Central Valley Water Board. She oversees all three offices in the entire region. I just oversee the Redding office.
Where are the other two offices?
Our headquarters is in Rancho Cordova, and then we have an office in Fresno as well.
Okay. So she oversees both the Sacramento and the San Joaquin River watersheds?
Exactly.
And you're specifically over the Sacramento River area watershed?
For the most part, yes.
Okay.
So what do you do?
Yeah.
What do I do? Personally?
No, professionally. I don't care what you do personally.
We can get into that if you want, but we were really more talking about your professional world.
You've gone too far, Trish.
As the Assistant Executive Officer of the Central Valley Water Board, we're roughly, the Central Valley region is the largest region of the nine regional boards. We encompass about 40% of the state, 38 counties or portions thereof. We extend from the programs. In addition to that, we also have an enforcement program. And so that is one of my duties as lead prosecutor for the Redding office. And so the tasks on the day-to-day, you know, vary tremendously, and it's a lot of fire drills.
Did you say leak prosecutor or lead prosecutor?
Lead.
Are you an attorney?
I'm not an attorney, but under the water boards are an administrative process. And so we do issue penalties under certain water codes. We go to the board, if you will. Our agency is overseen by actual people. Those people are appointed by the governor. They represent various stakeholders, if you will, municipalities, water resources, etc. And in terms of enforcement or, you know, board decisions, we actually go to Sacramento. There is a board meeting. We tee things up. We stand in front of the board, make our case, and it's ultimately their decision as to whether or not they want to go a certain way, much like the County Board of Supervisors would operate.
Okay, so the State Water Board is a bunch of civilian appointees of the government, of the governor, and you report indirectly through your boss to them.
Correct.
Okay.
At that, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back.
All right, you are listening to KCNR 1460 in Shasta Redding.
You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The owner's ordeal began after a collision repair, resulting in a car that had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently left or right, but only when he was alone. He had taken the car back to the shop that repaired it. It was test-driven 8 times. Nothing happened. Nobody believes me. They look at me like I'm crazy. Just minutes before he arrived at Coachmaster, the pulling struck again. My inspection revealed...
Lady Bot and the Bluebirds.
Experience Lake Shasta like never before with a houseboat from Holiday Harbor. A houseboat is a fun and affordable way to relax with family and friends. Holiday Harbor has something for everyone, from personal watercraft to paddle boards, ski boats to towables, and so much more. Already have a boat? Bring it out and leave it in one of the Holiday Harbor slips. Food, supplies, or a little marine repair? Holiday Harbor has it. Staycation on the lake with Holiday Harbor. Holiday Harbor Resort and Marina, 238-2383 or lakeshasta.com.
Hi, this is Zoe from Zoe's Travel Shop in the Mount Shasta Mall.
We're open 7 days a week for all your traveling needs. Make travel fun where you can find items that are safe and fashionable. We carry brands such as Ex Officio, PacSafe, Dakine, Eagle Creek, and Briggs & Riley. That's Zoe's Travel Shop, located in the Mount Shasta Mall.
From city streets to country gravel, your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook.
Okay, welcome back. This is Trish Clark and my co-host Ken Murray, and we're here at KCNR 1460 AM radio, and we're talking water or something like that. And we're going to be available by phone if you have questions at 605-4567 or jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com.
Yeah, and we just want to thank a couple of our sponsors really quick. First is Orchard Nutrition. They're North State's nutrition experts. Go to Cypress Square Shopping Center to go there or give them a call at 244-9141, your center for a healthy lifestyle. And then we have our Northern Firearms. This portion of the show is brought to you by Northern Firearms Instructors.
There's certain levels. So, you know, phase two representing more of the smaller municipalities, and then phase one being the larger, such as City of Sacramento.
Well, we were told earlier, or yesterday actually, that effective January 1st, there's new stormwater discharge requirements that are going to be fairly expensive for municipalities. Can you elaborate on that?
There could be. There could be. It just depends on the size of the municipality you're in.
Okay, I'm in Redding.
You're in Redding. You know, the State Water Resources Control Board reviews the fee schedule every year. So we are a fee-based organization for the most part. We do receive some general funds. Because we're a fee-based organization, literally the permit fees those dischargers pay each year support the staff and the organization.
Well, the thing maybe I'm not communicating clearly. What I was told was that we're going to have to start processing our stormwater before it gets to the Sacramento River.
No, that's not entirely correct. You know, for the most part, municipalities won't process stormwater. The program requires certain elements be conducted. We call best management practices. And the idea there is that you you are implementing things such as low-impact development, street sweeping, et cetera, to reduce the pollutant load to surface water bodies throughout the municipality. So there's a whole process sort of involved in that.
He talked about some screens that are going to have to be installed, some rather extensive infrastructure that was going to have to be added to filter the water before it got in there.
You're talking about the trash policy, I believe.
Okay.
So State Water Resources Control Board is considering a trash policy. Essentially, you know, cities like the Redding, going back to this example, aren't going to be heavily impacted by that. We don't have a lot of trash relative to, you know, other cities, municipalities of larger size down in the Central Valley. But yeah, that is a big concern. We receive comments quite often from dischargers, and dischargers being those municipalities, those communities. They would, in fact, as part of that plan, be putting in trash grates to, you know, everything from shopping carts to milk bottles, water bottles, et cetera, you know, remove those pollutants from the waterways.
So this is a mandate coming down from the state on local government with no money.
It's being considered. So,
but it's not being considered with any money coming along with it.
Correct. You know, those costs are passed on to the regulated community.
Okay, I want to go back to the makeup of this water quality control board. They're appointed.
Correct.
By who and for how long?
They're appointed by the governor, confirmed by the Senate, and 4-year terms.
And so they come up, and are they appointed by region, by representing a certain stakeholder group? How do they get nominated, and are they a political appointment, i.e., or is everybody on there a Democrat?
Well, first of all, by definition, they're a political appointment. Okay.
Well,
the governor
is a well, okay, and by definition, they're a political appointment, and therefore, I remember trying to make appointments at different times during my career and putting names up, and if they weren't of the same party as the guy sitting in the governor's mansion, their chances of getting appointed were slim and none.
Yeah, I think, you know, the reality is there's probably some truth to that, but because they're 4-year terms, you know, they do have the potential to overlap.
Which makes a difference in this state.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Trish, you're out of control. This is a nice young man, okay?
He's a nice young man. He knows me well enough to know that he's not going to get a free ride, so.
Okay. Yeah, each one of those board members are appointed by the governor, and per the water code, they are to represent certain industries. So the irrigated lands, community, the construction, municipality, each one of those members, you know, sort of represents. And the purpose of that is that we get a diverse board. And so the topics that are coming to them in terms of how we regulate or enforce, you know, water quality standards are viewed broadly. They're viewed by various industries and stakeholders, including private citizens.
Well, let me just draw a parallel because I'm going to follow up on Trish's question. The Public Utilities Commission is a politically appointed board, okay? There is an organization called TURN. It's an acronym for Toward Utility Rate Normalization. And TURN regularly testifies before the PUC on behalf of customers, okay? They are in an adversarial role. Until you figure out that TURN is funded by the PUC to argue with them, okay? Now, what I'm trying to figure out here is the water board, their political appointees, is somebody over there funding somebody to represent customers? I mean, when you say stakeholders are involved, are real stakeholders are involved or surrogate stakeholders that somebody's paying?
Actually, the water boards have a very transparent process, and you know, honestly, it's not the most efficient process, but we go to great lengths to involve dischargers. What I mean by a stakeholder process is they will often be involved in working with us to draft permits start to finish. Ultimately, as I said, those are board decisions. We don't always agree with them, but
okay, we do have a phone call, and we're going to go to the phone and talk with Charles. Good morning, Charles.
Yeah, I wanted to get back to that stormwater trash filtration proposal. It seems like this filter could easily become clogged, and if this is implemented, for example, here in the city, you know, the next time we have a moderate rain event, it could, you know, raise the potential for, you know, something that's sort of a, you know, garden variety rain event, turn that into a flooding event, at least in certain streets, or maybe most streets, depending on the extent to which, for example, leaf litter should clog these filters, because you're talking about it seems like a finer and finer sieve inside these storm drains, which is going to catch, you know, more solid objects, obviously, and it's going to, it seems like that would increase the possibility that these things would clog, and where you have clogged storm drains, you increase the potential for at least localized flooding events, and I'm wondering if your guest has anything to say on that.
Thanks, Charles. We'll take your answer off the air. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so just to clarify on that a little bit, those grates that we're talking about, you know, would be engineered appropriately. So just like any municipality maintains a stormwater system, you know, their culverts, et cetera, to prevent those exact issues, they would also maintain those grates. There's also the potential that those grates could be designed so that when they're anticipating a storm event, they would be modified slightly. But those issues that you're speaking of are actively being debated at this time.
I think it's kind of interesting. We started this discussion. You were talking about grates to keep shopping carts out, and we're down to leaves already. When are we going to get down to cigarette butts? How much is this going to cost?
Well, everything's personal, isn't it?
Really?
Listen, we're gonna take a break here at the bottom of the hour, but I want you to think about it. I have a question for you, and I'll give you a chance to think about it before you answer me. The city of Shasta Lake building a new sewer facility, okay? And the processed effluent that comes out of these facilities in today's with today's technology is such that the water is cleaner than it's what's in the Sacramento River naturally. Of just the nature of the beast. I mean, it's cleaned up, okay? That's why you can use reclaimed water for a lot of uses, and in some cities now they're going to actually drinking it, which is fine, okay? But apparently the city of Shasta Lake cannot discharge that into Churn Creek, and I want to know why when we come back.
All right, we are going to take a break.
All right, before we go to a break, I just want to thank our two sponsors, Four Winds Jewelry. They're a full-service jewelry store providing the finest selection of jewelry in Northern California. Go to 2225 Hilltop Drive, Reading, or give them a call at 222-2750. And our next sponsor is Alliance Heating and Air. They're serving the North State for 20 years with outstanding service to all models and makes of heating and cooling systems. Warranties guaranteed 7 days a week. 24 service. Alliance Heating and Air. Call them at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. You are listening to KCNR 1460 in Chester, Reading, the community radio of the North State. Give us a call at 605-4567.
As we girls get older, our eyesight weakens. This requires larger diamonds.
Shop the Goldmark annual estate sale going on now with thousands of vintage, unique, and one-of-a-kind jewelry items. Special six-month deferred interest financing is available. Like us on Facebook for daily specials, and be sure to sign up in the store for your chance to win a free one-ounce gold bar. Open Monday through Saturday, 9:30 to 5:30. The Goldmark annual estate sale. Town and Country Center, Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Rumor has it, Lulu established a roadhouse to provide good food and drinks in a relaxing atmosphere at affordable prices. Today, Lulu's continues the tradition, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week with specials posted daily. Lulu's Catering serves special events at your site or in their banquet room with customized menus to fit your budget. And they have the best Bloody Mary in town. Find Lulu's Eating and Drinking Establishment on Pine Street, where Pine meets Cypress Avenue.
Ah yes, this is the life. Sun, surf, sand, living on island time. It's good to take a break. Yeah, maybe someday, but right now, there's work to be done. And if you're a business owner, you know that presenting a professional appearance can make all the difference in the world. That goes double for your office. Usually it's the very first impression people get of your company. Join the dozens of North State businesses that have their commercial spaces professionally cleaned by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Since 1987, Maui Bob and his team have embraced the Aloha spirit, putting their clients first with an emphasis on customer satisfaction. And who knows, if your business is more successful because your offices reflect that attention to detail that professional office cleaning gives, maybe you will have more time for that island getaway. Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, on the web at MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab.
At Reading Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your barefoot plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past few years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
And welcome back to Free Fire Radio. You are listening to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. KCNR1460.com to jump into the chat room or join us at 605-4567. And we're joined this morning by Clint Snyder from, he's the Assistant Executive Officer for one of my favorite boards, the State Water Control Board.
You said that with a straight face. I knew you couldn't keep it going. Okay, so why can't the city of Shasta Lake discharge into Churn Creek?
So there's a couple things that come into play there. First off, each regional board is required by the water code to adopt a water quality control plan, a basin plan. Mm-hmm. That basin plan identifies beneficial uses for mm-hmm. all water bodies, mm-hmm. inland surface water bodies. Mm-hmm. So in this particular case, they identify beneficial uses for the Sacramento River. That includes things like cold water, mm-hmm. Spawning habitat, mm-hmm. These issues primarily driven to salmonids. With that applies the tributary rule. The tributary rule says that any stream that essentially is tributary to the Sacramento River also contains those beneficial uses. In this particular case with Shasta Lake, those beneficial uses apply to salmonids, spawning habitat, et cetera. Salmonids being salmon, steelhead, trout, et cetera. So with those beneficial uses come water quality objectives that protect those beneficial uses. So salmon are particularly susceptible to toxicity resulting from copper. Mm-hmm. So copper concentrations have to be extremely low, well below what we would consider drinking water standards. Mm-hmm. So in that, for that particular reason, and because of the flow in Churn Creek, there isn't enough flow in the creek to dilute the concentrations of copper coming out of that wastewater treatment plant. And that's just one example. As I was saying at the break, this is a pretty heavy subject.
But are you saying that the treatment plant is putting copper into the water?
Correct.
Why don't they just get rid of the copper? Then would you let them put it into Churn Creek?
Well, that's the problem. It's not just copper. There are other considerations, ammonia being one, other metals, zinc, et cetera.
Wait a minute. I can drink this stuff, but the fish can't?
You can drink it. It's perfectly safe for you to drink. But, yeah, at those levels, it's actually can be toxic to salmonids.
Does any of this make any sense?
Makes perfect sense to me, but it's a difficult decision. You know, we face these decisions all the time in wastewater treatment plants. The city of Sacramento, you know, their wastewater treatment plant, we just went through a huge debate. It's actually still being debated in terms of the cost to retrofit these wastewater treatment plants for them to be able to discharge to these water bodies.
Wait a minute. This is a brand new plant under construction, state-of-the-art stuff.
It is.
And it's going to have state-of-the-art stuff. It's going to have pure water that's currently in the Sacramento River, which also has copper in it. However, we can't put it into Churn Creek, which is dry up there anyway. And this makes sense to somebody.
So the old plant doesn't meet. So let's get back to this. So the plant discharges under a federal regs, the Clean Water Act. Okay. Under that system, they have what they call a National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System. That's the permit, NPDES permit. You hear that quite a bit mm-hmm. for these point source discharges. Mm-hmm. So the state implements the MPDS permit on behalf of the feds, if you will. So in this particular case, National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, the end goal when this was all first established was to eliminate all point source discharges. So with that in mind,
so to just say that in language that everybody out there understands, the bottom line is we're trying to stop everybody from discharging their sewer plants into the river or waterways.
No, and that's exactly what I'm getting at. That was the original intent, and of course back
that was the old intent, Trish.
Oh, okay.
When that intent was established, you know, we didn't have the quality of filtration systems that we do today, whether that be industrial discharges or wastewater treatment plants. The technology has improved tremendously to a point where balancing the water needs in California is so integrated. So, for instance, if we were to stop all point source,
they wouldn't have enough water for the fish and the farmers and everybody else.
You're hitting it exactly. Okay. Water rights actually becomes a big issue because those downstream cities actually rely on the water that's being discharged from these wastewater treatment plants.
I'm getting more confused the longer you talk. City of Redding discharges directly into the Sacramento River.
Absolutely.
But City of Shasta Lake can't because it goes into Churn Creek, which goes into the Sacramento River.
Because there's no water in there because there's no dilution.
Trish hit it on the head.
That's the issue.
That's a big
if Churn Creek was running with full water, then these issues would be entirely different. There's no dilution. It goes in pure as opposed to diluting as it's going down. Of course, the issue is that there's nothing in Churn Creek, so that blows that argument. It can't kill anything because it's not – what can it have in there? And when it enters the Sacramento River, then it is being diluted.
Dilution is certainly, you know, one of the things that we consider in all these discharges. And in areas where we have dilution, such as the Sacramento River, you know, it's much easier for a discharger to comply with those water quality standards. You know, we can take the assimilative capacity of the river and, you know, by discharging, you know, we can take things into account like dilution. That's you may have heard the term mixing zones before. Churn Creek, unfortunately, is just one of those areas that does not have the flow to support those types of discharges. So we have to make
at all times of the year. Sometimes it does, but other times it
doesn't. Okay, let me approach this a different way.
He's not going to let it go. He's just going to, and then I'm going to come back about the makeup of the board before we get done as well.
You also issue fines, and presumably systems are designed around. 100-year flood or a 20-year flood or something. I don't know what you design around. But if we design a system for a 100-year flood and then have a flood that exceeds a 100-year flood, you fine the municipality, you know, tens of thousands of dollars because they exceeded the 100-year flood, which, frankly, is an act of God. I don't quite understand that.
I'm not understanding, I guess, the question. We generally would not, you know, assess penalties for, you know, flood type of events.
Well, it seems to me when we had a big flood down at the Clear Creek sewer plant, you assessed a giant penalty against the city of Redding.
Oh, come on, Ken. Do you really want to go there?
Yeah, I do.
A Clear Creek plant at that point should have been getting penalties on a daily basis.
That's not the question, though. The question is, when do you assess a penalty for flood-caused events?
It's not often. There are very few circumstances in which we would, you know, assess penalties due to flood. As you said, the standards with most of our permits, most of our programs, depending on the type of discharge, if you're discharging to a pond type of a system or you're discharging to the river, you're required to meet certain design standards. So those facilities need to be able to maintain and capture flows related to that discharge for a, say, 25-year storm event.
Mm-hmm.
If, in fact, we have storm events greater than that, then, you know, it is at the discretion of the board whether or not we would issue penalties, and in almost all cases, we do not.
Of the nine boards, are they all consistent in their rulings, or does each one have their own personality and own approach to it?
Own personality and own approach. They each have their own basin plans and their own political hot buttons and their own water quality concerns. So, you get into the southern regions, much more arid, much more demand, San Diego, et cetera, generally speaking, tend to take things a little bit more seriously. And I don't want to say that we don't, but, there's just not as much water to go around down there. So water is just that much more important.
Okay. You told me earlier that one of the biggest problems you're having right now is marijuana. Tell me how that impacts your office and what you do about it.
So in May of last year, we were approached by Butte County, and Butte County asked that the water boards become involved in addressing marijuana cultivation and the environmental damages caused by that cultivation. Very soon after, we went to several meetings with legislators, Senator Nielsen, Assemblyman Logue, et cetera. And the end result of that was that the water boards would become involved in regulating and enforcing environmental standards associated with cultivations. And
based on the fact that they're drawing water out, whether they are entitled to it or not, using it in their fields, and that is coming back in to the system impacted by the marijuana, or just the fact that they're taking it out?
There's certainly the water supply issue. So, a lot of water diversions happening, illegal water diversions. But it's also the chemical usage. So, the pesticides, rodenticides, you've read the news. Mm-hmm. But, the reality is a large part of that is sediment. A lot of these cultivators have a bulldozer dropped off on Friday evening, and they're running that thing 24 hours a day until Monday morning, cutting in roads, terracing slopes, et cetera. Winter comes, they've left the state, for the most part. These growers are out of state.
They have to work quick.
Well, so what do you do? I mean, so I own a ranch. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about my place. Okay.
Yeah.
The first time I knew I had a marijuana grow on my ranch was I was sitting out on the lawn, and a couple of helicopters flew over with guys with their boots hanging out the window, and they went down and yanked 10,000 plants out. I didn't even know they were there. They're in a highly inaccessible portion of the ranch. I mean, you have to have pitons to get down the cliff face where these Mexicans were growing this stuff. They diverted water a half mile up and buried pipe underground and all that stuff. So they, let's say, and I don't think they did, they didn't create any sedimentation, but let's say they had created sedimentation. Do I get fined for that?
It depends on your culpability.
See, that's too much like a yes for me.
It's
I didn't know about it.
Yeah, it really goes back to culpability. The water code is probably one of the most powerful tools out there. Our threshold for requiring someone to submit technical reports is very, very low. It is literally the potential for threat.
I'm going to jump in, and we're going to go to a break because we're like over time. And
I still want to know if I'd get a fine. Well, but we can do that when
we'll
get back.
We'll pick it up on the other side.
We're going to thank our sponsor, Cypress Square Barbershop. Carl says it's man's last stronghold. Give him a call at 243-63. Give him a call at 244-9478 or go to 243-63 Athens Avenue in Redding, California now. You're listening to KCNR 1460 in Shasta, Redding, the community radio of the North State.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was, one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question.
how long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. Every week I get patients that say, Doc, I can't live with this foot and leg pain. Raymond Miner is a classic example. He lives in Alturas. He was in serious trouble. His feet and hands were burning at night, making sleep almost impossible. His balance was affected, and now he was using a walker. We introduced Raymond to a new form of treatment called analgesic stim. Used successfully in Europe for over 20 years. Available only at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. Within a few treatments, Raymond began to feel better and threw away his walker. If you're suffering from pain, tingling, numbness, or stabbing pain in your hands or feet caused by peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point quality assessment to see if you are a candidate for this new life-saving treatment. In Reading, call 530-302-3555.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank. Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Okay, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. You are listening to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. Jump into the chat room at kcnr1460.com or join us on the line for 605-4567.
This morning we're talking to Clint Snyder from the Regional Water Quality Control Board, and I want to follow up on the question I asked before the break. An illegal grow was found on my property that I was unaware of. Can you answer yes or no? As a landowner, can I get fined for that?
As a landowner, you can get fined for that.
That's not the answer. I want to hear the no answer. Under what theory?
Ignorance of the law is no excuse, Ken.
I'd be happy to read you Water Code Section 13304.
Ignorance of the grow?
Either one.
You know, the reality of it is that the water boards have the discretion. In most cases, in all cases, you would have an opportunity, you know, to have that discussion with the water boards. And really what it'll boil down to is, you know, if in fact you did have a large ranch and there was this grow in the back corner and there were no ties to that and you were unaware, you know, it's unlikely that you would be, you know, held accountable for that.
It would depend upon whether they trusted you and you were a reliable, good citizen, Ken.
I don't know how those Mexicans got down there. There's a rattlesnake den there right on the cliff escarpment before it drops over. I mean, I don't go down there because I can't hike down the cliff. I mean, I don't have ropes and pulleys and stuff. These guys were going down the face of this cliff past this rattlesnake den, and I'd be happy to take the water board out and let them wander around for a while.
We have a phone call. We're going to go to the phone, and we have a question from Ron. Good morning, Ron.
Yes, good morning. I'd like to make a statement. I've got a question. You know, the government wants to put meters on private wells to stop the people from using the water when they own the mineral rights and the water rights. But yet they'll send this water downstream to some little fish that's not even indigenous to the area. That doesn't make sense. Now I've got a question. They want to put screens on the storm drains, and they won't let them the water treatment plants put water in the creek because it might have copper or something in it. But yet these drones will let them spray us down daily with chemtrails, and now this stuff is all over the, it's everywhere, and how are they going to stop it? Somebody's not making sense. I mean, some of these government officials need to be neutered so they don't breed any more like them, and that's my statement. So anyhow, maybe you can answer that on the air. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron.
I'm not even going to ask Clint if he's neutered, but what about I come back to these screens because we talked about it yesterday on the radio, and it's you know, City of Reading Storm Drain Utility collects hardly nothing. Okay, any changes to the storm drain requirements are going to have to come to a vote of the people in the City of Reading in order to tax themselves, in order to implement whatever the state board calls for. What happens if the people won't vote for it?
Well, first, I just want to remind you that this is being hotly debated in Sacramento, all over the state, the trash policy. It is controversial. If, in fact, it is adopted and comes into play, you know, those requirements would fall under, you know, the MS4 system, as we were talking mm-hmm. about earlier. Ultimately, you know, each municipality, again, varying in size from everything from the city of Anderson up to the, you know, city of Sacramento or San Diego, will have to take a look at the available resources they have and the problems they have. It's not that you're going to install grates on every water body within the city of Reading, for instance. And so, you know, you would look at those water bodies that have a significant trash load and come up with ways to address that. And that may very well be bar screens, et cetera. But it doesn't mean that you're going to have bar screens, you know, every half mile on every stretch of water within the city of Reading.
I want to go back to, because we're getting short of time here, and I really want to finish up my thought process about the makeup of these boards. So you have – I heard some earlier in one of you state that there's 9 of these boards.
No, there's 9 regions.
9 regions. And how many boards represent them?
So under the Cal EPA umbrella, there are a number of other agencies. So the State Water Resources Control Board, you know, the Department of Toxics, Air, et cetera. Under the State Water Resources Control Board, there are 9 regional water quality control boards, and those are all based in terms of their boundaries on watershed. So, for instance, the Central Valley Water Board drains the Sacramento and San Joaquin river systems. So, you know, visually, you know, the boundary between Region 1, being the North Coast region, and the Central Valley region is Buckhorn Summit.
Okay. So, how many what I'm trying to find out is how many unelected appointees, government appointees, are making in the state of California all of these decisions for me? And it, my issue is, I don't like the appointment thing. If people are going to make decisions that have that dramatic an impact on my life, water's big. I'd like it to have an opportunity to directly have some input into electing who those people are.
That's a tough one. You know, again, they're appointed by the governor. There is an application process. You can submit your application.
But how many of them are there? Is there one board?
There's one board that oversees each of the 9 regions. So each of the regions has their own board.
Okay, so there's 9 boards.
The Control Board has their own board as well.
All right, so who's your board?
In terms of
your board for this office in Reading.
So we are part of the Central Valley region, the Central Valley Board, and that's mm-hmm. why it's called Central Valley Regional Water Quality Control Board.
Right.
Sits in the Rancho Cordova office.
How many members?
5.
Okay. And there are 9 of these 5-member boards or more?
Correct. 9 plus.
And is there one board above all the other boards?
At the State Water Resources Control Board, there are board members, correct.
How big is that board?
I believe there's 7.
So we have 52 unelected officials running the water system, right? Is this clear?
Well, the Central Valley Water System.
The state
water system.
He's roughly correct.
There's 52 of them.
It's complicated, but yeah. And so do they come from – do we have somebody from Reading sitting on that board?
We don't. Actually, I just pulled up the code, 13201. So there's one person from Water Supply Conservation Production, one from Irrigated Ag, one from Industrial Water Use, one from Municipal Government, county government and non-government organization associated with recreation, fish, or wildlife.
So there's no just plain old ordinary citizens involved in any of this?
There is one. Yes, there is one
public
sort
member.
Of public representative.
What do I have to do to get Trish appointed to it?
I'm not a Democrat.
We'll lie about it on the application.
No, I think it is an issue with a lot of, because water, certainly all of these things we've been talking about, it's very complicated. Anytime you get to talking about water, the transportation, the discharge, it's a big, huge impact on our lives. And it's people make rules that we don't even know who they are. We don't know how they got there. But we're subject to them, and you're very powerful. They're very powerful. When they make a decision, it's very hard to get rid of their decision.
Trish, I want you to understand, Trish, that I'm a very good campaign consultant, and I will. I'll tell you what. I'll get you appointed to the local board of the Regional Water Control Agency, provided you promise to keep your mouth shut until after you're on the board, because you'd screw up the whole thing the minute you open your mouth.
I just can't say that. I mean, I've never lost an election, Ken, so I mean, what can I say?
Yeah, but you're a Republican wanting on a Democrat board.
I know. That's a big deal. So we have been joined this morning by Clint Snyder, the Assistant Executive Officer for the Regional Water Quality Control Board. And he's been a really good sport, and I enjoy that. And besides which, Clint's a friend. So you are listening to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. And we will be back for another hour of Trish and Ken right after these messages.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Missouri Governor Jay Nixon says progress has taken place in the town of Ferguson, where protests have taken place all week long, but things were a little more calm in the recent gatherings, including last night. Meanwhile, psychiatrist and professor Dr. Syed Hussein says that the social unrest, the violence, and all the media coverage is making children stressed out as they get back to school this time of year.
They become easily frustrated. They start jumping for ordinary stresses. They start fighting with each other.
Things are calming down on the streets, though. About 100 people gathered last night, walking mostly in laps near the spot where an 18-year-old unarmed black man was killed after a scuffle with police. Also at SRNnews.com, Iraq's most influential Shiite cleric is calling on the country's leaders to work together and come together in what he called a realistic and doable manner. Good advice, according to Iraqi Ambassador to Britain, Faik Nerwayi, who spoke to Britain's Sky News.
Now, what we are hoping for, that this new government will avoid these mistakes and find solutions to these problems. Of course, that the Sunni Arabs feel that this is their country, as it is the Shia Arabs' country, as it is the Kurds' country.
Meanwhile, the United Nations says the death toll from Syria's civil war has risen to more than 191,000 people. UN Human Rights spokesman Rupert Colville.
With additional killings reported from the earlier periods, in addition to around 62,000 new killings in the year covered by this new analysis, the total has actually together more than doubled.
Gaza gunmen have killed 18 alleged spies. A killing come a day after an Israeli airstrike at a house in southern Gaza killed three senior Hamas military leaders. The three had played a key role in expanding Hamas's military capacity. This is SRN News.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
When our daughter Emma was born, we took a look at our credit card debt. It was not a good situation. Finally, my wife Vicky said, call Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496.
We called them, they contacted all of our creditors, they stopped the collections calls, they got the interest reduced, and they put us on a plan for success.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496.
The Lumber Liquidators Fall Flooring Kickoff Sale is on with over 250 of the latest styles all on sale now. Get Black Forest Oak Laminate for a crazy 39 cents a square foot. Beautiful and durable bamboo for just $159. Classic pre-finished gunstock oak hardwood for $149. All gorgeous Bellawood pre-finished hardwood is on sale. Plus get special 24-month financing. Go to LumberLiquidators.com today to find the store nearest you. Hurry, this sale ends Tuesday the 2nd. The fall flooring season is here. Why aren't you?
Texas Governor Rick Perry dips his toes in the political waters in the key early voting state of New Hampshire today. Governor Perry said yesterday in Washington that President Obama is trying to have it both ways.
On the one hand, we're seeing a willful neglect of clear presidential responsibility. And on the other hand, we're seeing an aggressive overreach into the powers that don't belong to the president at all.
The potential 2016 GOP nominee said yesterday he differs with President Obama on a number of key issues. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission is announcing the recall of more than 2 million beanbag chairs. That after two children opened the zippers on those chairs, crawled inside, and suffocated. The chairs are made by Ace Bayou Corporation and were sold at a number of stores and online retailers, including Walmart and Amazon.com. Early trading on Wall Street, it's been a struggle for the Dow. It's off 18 points. This is SRN News. A new study finds that 63 trillion gallons of water have been lost to drought in the western United States, enough to blanket the region with 4 inches of water.
Researchers at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography at the University of California, San Diego, have published a study in which they measured the level of the Earth's crust with a network of GPS stations normally used to predict earthquakes. According to the devices, the Earth's crust has risen an average of 4 millimeters since 2013 and as much as 15 millimeters in the California mountains. When water is lost due to a lack of rain and snow, the Earth's crust rises.
That's SRN's Jeremy House reporting. Army officials say 6 soldiers are recovering after lightning struck during a field exercise. It happened at Fort Drum in northern New York State. 4 of those who were affected returned to duty this morning. 2 others remain hospitalized. More details at SRNnews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And good morning, this is Trish Clark, and we are broadcasting KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. I'm joined this morning by my co-host, Ken Murray. We've been with you all week. Carl and Linda are in Europe having a great time. I know that because we haven't heard from them, so they're just enjoying themselves and doing what they should be doing on a great vacation. If you'd like to join us this morning, you can jump into the chat room at kcnr1460.com or join us on the phone at 605-4567. And we're going to go first to Susan Eastman at Wells Fargo Advisors. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. Well, stocks are heading lower this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 44 points at 16,994. The S&P 500 is off 2 points, 1989. And the NASDAQ Composite down 4 points at 4,528. Active stocks this morning, Hewlett-Packard down 31 cents, trading at 36.69. Salesforce.com up $3.86 at 59.57. Ford down 21 cents, trading at $17.19. For local bank stocks of interest, Cornerstone Bank unchanged at 9.25. Trico Bank shares positive 13 cents at 22.95. Bank of Commerce off 7 cents at $6.11. For commodities, gold is up $2 an ounce at 12.77. Silver off 8 cents at 19. And crude oil down 77 cents, trading at $93 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Thank you, Susan. You can listen for our Wells Fargo Market Minute weekday morning, 7:10, 8:10, and 9:05 here on KCNR, brought to you by Wells Fargo. Give them a call at 243-7561.
And it is 68 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a sunny with a high near 92. clear with a low around 64 this evening, sunny and high through the weekend in the mid-90s, 95 to 96. Not looking for the 100-degree mark, and that's good with me. The weather is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. It's locally owned and operated. They give senior and veterans discounts, and you can reach them at 365-3793.
In the last hour, we had the young man here from the local regional water quality control board. I want to follow up with something. I told him I wouldn't bring this up while he was here because he has nothing to do with it, and I didn't. But, you know, let me feed your paranoia for a minute, Trish. I mean, I know it isn't hard to do, but let me do it. I have in my hand a letter that was sent to the state board, okay? And the letter's signed by everybody and their brother, Sacramento Municipal Utility District, State Water Contractors, Northern California Water Association, Westlands Water District, California Municipal Utilities Association, Yuba County Water Agency, and the City of Redding. Okay? And the letter, and I'm going to have to paraphrase, this is a three-page letter, paraphrase from it, but the letter is about the Bay Delta Water Quality Control Plan. And the Bay Delta Water Quality Control Plan has to do with keeping the salinity content right and protecting the smelt and all that good stuff. Okay? All of those agencies I just read are writing to the Water Board because they're suggesting the State Water Board should allow ongoing processes in the Delta to be completed before it acts on the Bay Delta Water Quality Control Plan. The State Water Board is working closely with the Bay Delta Conservation Plan process and has said that it will use the environmental and other analysis prepared in support of the Bay Delta Conservation Plan to consider water right changes and other requested actions out of that process. However, the letter says, we are troubled to read that the outflows and water operations portion of its Bay Delta Water Quality Control Plan, the state is planning on implementing before the Bay Delta plan is completed. So they're going to change the water flows. Their plan was to change the water flows to bring it locally in the Sacramento River before they even know what the plan is for the Bay Delta.
Okay.
Which is in which is against the State Water Board, which has recognized that the analysis that they did in 2010 for Delta flow criteria did not involve any public interest or public trust balancing that would be required under both its water quality and water right authorities. Over the past several months, we have collectively performed analyses of some of the impacts to other beneficial uses and public trust resources if the 2010 Delta flow criteria is implemented. Okay, so this is what's going to happen if they implement this before the conservation plan is developed by the Bay Delta Accord.
So you're talking about they're talking about changing the amount of water that can go down or must go down the Delta
without first knowing
what the impact, what the plan is for the Delta.
And if they go forward with the plan they proposed in 2010, the impacts of the 2010 Delta flow criteria would be devastating. The criteria would not likely have the anticipated benefit to the Delta and may actually make habitat conditions to the Delta worse. Reservoir levels in all of the reservoirs, which includes Oroville, Trinity, Shasta, and Folsom, would be greatly reduced, and the new flow criteria would result in deadpool levels, effectively empty for the reservoirs. In all of them, by the end of summer, in half of all years.
Wow.
Okay. And you know, for example, if you lose cold water pools and reduce summer flow and fall flows, there would be a result in a breach of the temperature objectives below Shasta in about 90% of the years. Otherwise, say, you're going to kill all the salmon anyway. If you go through with this thing to keep the salinity right without first understanding the impacts on other beneficial uses of the water, you're just, you know, screwing everybody.
Well, so bottom line, if we come to a point where we were going to dump all this water down there to keep the salinity out of the Bay Delta, in the process, we're going to empty out all the fish benefits, all the farm benefits, everything else, and nobody's going to have any water left in any of the reservoirs in the northern part of the state.
That's right. While Delta outflow in the spring would be increased under this plan by an average of 4.6 million acre feet, this would come at the following cost. We'd wind up with dead pools at Shasta, okay? About 700,000 acres of agricultural land in the Sacramento Valley would be forced out of production, and by point of reference, there's 500,000 acres planted in rice down there. So all the rice goes away. And a million
acres, the orchards go away.
And all the orchards go away. And a million acres south of Sacramento goes away. So the state board is... and summertime hydropower production would be reduced up to 70%, undermining the overall stability of the California energy grid. And so the signers of this letter asked the state water board to delay any review of the Delta outflow objectives until, one, the ongoing habitat conservation planning process for the Delta has been completed, and two, the state water board becomes more informed about the real-world impacts that such changes would have on public trust resources. Now, they were set to go forward with this in 2010. The drought hit, and it has now been moved to the back burner. But in bureaucraties, back burner means it didn't go away. It's just sitting there lurking in the background.
Which brings me back to my original point, and this is the most powerful board that has the biggest impact on us as citizens in the state of California. They make decisions, and they're not accountable to anybody.
You got it.
And we don't have an opportunity to elect them. We've had been, but now I sat for many years on NACWA, Northern California Water Agency, which is one of the signatories of this board. So I know a little bit about the Regional Water Quality Control Board. We can write all these letters, and we did on a regular basis. The bottom line, that group can go into a meeting. They make their decision. They walk away, and we have no recourse.
Okay, and one of the reasons I bring that up is, like I said, City of Reading responded to this at the staff level. Okay? That's why you hire professional staff to track this kind of stuff.
Exactly.
And make it happen. And, you know, it's devastating.
But we also need to have our local elected officials involved in this. And because they are the ones, I whip back in there.
You're not one of them anymore.
I'm not one of them anymore. But those are the people that we elect to sit on these other boards and make recommend and keep alert so that we, as elected officials who hopefully have a little more sway at that level, can go down there and yell at those people. And on that note, we do need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, we just want to thank two of our sponsors, Tobacco and Brew. Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. They're serving us our tobacco needs, and you can go there and get a great cup of coffee. So go to 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew. Or Bastiani Arms. They're located at 2539 Larkspur, Reading. Give them a call at 222-8222. John Bastiani prides himself on customer service and always having what the customers need in stock and at fair prices. So give them a call, 222-8222. You are listening to KCNR 1460 in Shasta, Reading, the community radio of the North State.
Unmistakable music. Their unforgettable hits. Foreigner is back. Thursday, September 4th at Wind River Resort and Casino, located in Reading. Here comes Foreigner.
It feels like the first time.
It'll be a night of smoking Foreigner hits. The band that changed the rock and roll landscape forever.
For a girl like you.
Foreigner. tickets available at the River Club, 1-800-280-UWIN, and online at winriver.com. Don't miss Foreigner Live. Thursday, September 4th at Wind River Resort and Casino, located in Redding. Jukebox Heroes, the greatest hits of Foreigner. Available now. It's better on the river.
As we girls get older, our eyesight weakens. This requires larger diamonds.
Shop the Goldmark annual estate sale going on now with thousands of vintage, unique, and one-of-a-kind jewelry items. Special six-month deferred interest financing is available. Like us on Facebook for daily specials, and be sure to sign up in the store for your chance to win a free one-ounce gold bar. Open Monday through Saturday, 9:30 to 5:30. The Goldmark annual estate sale. Town and Country Center, Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Rumor has it, Lulu established a roadhouse to provide good food and drinks in a relaxing atmosphere at affordable prices. Today, Lulu's continues the tradition, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week with specials posted daily. Lulu's Catering serves special events at your site or in their banquet room with customized menus to fit your budget. And they have the best Bloody Mary in town. Find Lulu's Eating and Drinking Establishment on Pine Street, where Pine meets Cypress Avenue.
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. You can jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call, and I'm pretty sure you will in the next hour at 605-4567. Want to just remind you that this evening the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is holding their annual summer barbecue at McConnell Foundation, and they give out all kinds of awards. If you haven't got anything good to do tonight, that'd be a great place to go and have a great barbecue. The weather's marvelous, and it's out at the McConnell Foundation this evening.
Well, since this is my last day here, and this is the last hour of the last day, I thought I might as well either educate or irritate as many people as possible on my way out the door. And I want to go back to something I said earlier this week about Patrick Jones. Patrick Jones has said that he's going to campaign against this quarter-cent sales tax. Okay. And apparently other council members are going to campaign for it, and I'm not sure that's appropriate for any of them to campaign either way. But in any event, what Patrick has said is that we need to look at the budget more closely, and we can find money for this and blah, 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 blah. But he doesn't give any specifics about where the money is to add public safety officers. Let me tell you how government works. Okay, and I'm going to give you a specific example about somebody who knows how to read the budget and can find those things. Now, Trish has experience with reading a budget and finding things and making changes. And my objection to Patrick is that he doesn't know how to read the budget and can't find anything in there and comes up with these wild statements that sound like campaign statements to me.
And that's an opinion.
That's my opinion, and this is an opinion show.
Okay.
But let's go back to something. The downtown mall roof, okay, when the downtown mall in Reading was built, it had probably 95% community support. It was wildly supportive. We're going to come into the 20th century finally.
Exactly. In communities all over the world, they decided that putting a roof on their downtown was the best possible thing to do.
And then, the Mount Shasta Mall was built a year later and everything fell apart. The downtown property owners couldn't agree with one another on hours of operation or sale dates or anything else. And so for over 20 years, the mall sat there, and everybody complained about it. It was a cave. It was a place that transient hung out. Nobody wanted to be there, and it was important to get rid of the roof. Well, the problem was we didn't have any money. Okay, I was on the city council at the time. We didn't have any money. But I got to looking in the budget. We were spending $300,000 a year on maintenance for the downtown mall because it was a city street, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to cost $3 million to get rid of the roof, just to tear it down and do what was done. And we didn't have $3 million. And I went to the city manager after examining the budget, and I said, well, why don't we hypothecate the $300,000 a year we're using and go borrow the money? And which is exactly what we did. We borrowed, but, you know, it had been there all the time. There had been other council people, other people had worked on the problem, you know, and I'm not a genius, but it just takes somebody some time, and you've had the same experience. You all of a sudden you had an idea,
mm-hmm.
and it worked,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so hypothecation means we borrowed the $3 million. And to pay back the $3 million,
use the $300,000 you were using to maintain the roof.
Yeah, to pay it
so
off,
so to speak. Yeah.
Okay. And the roof came off the mall because finally, suddenly, there was money available. Now the public looks at that and thinks, "Well, they had hidden money the whole time." Well, it wasn't hidden money. It's a, you know, finances, and especially government finances, inordinately complicated, and just because we came up with the money, it was because we had an idea on how to come up with the money. And that's part of what I expect elected officials to do.
And certainly I would concur with you to the point that there are instances, and I would say in every government budget, where there is money that looks real, that really isn't, because those positions no longer exist or something's changed in that department. All kinds of different things. Funds that were coming in for one thing and that need has gone away and they're using them for something else. So there's always an opportunity to fine tune your budget and to set new priorities. And I think that's where the key is. Government, as you've heard me say a million times, was never created to be all things to all people, nor should it be. And a lot of times government is trying to do things that they ought to just keep their nose out of, and then they maybe would have enough money for police and fire and those things, which I believe are the major things government should do for us.
And you know, I'm not sure I don't necessarily disagree with you. However, remember that these are people. Government isn't is an institution of people. These people are our neighbors, you know, whether they work any agency of government in the community, they're all our neighbors. For the most part, they're doing the best they can to get the job done. And, it isn't alchemy, nor is it brain surgery. You know, it's a combination. It's individuals coming together, and widespread distrust of government doesn't fix anything.
No, it doesn't. But the reality of it is that because of the way the money is expended from, unfortunately, from the federal government on down, as opposed from the little municipality on up, There is a creation of government that when we get a pot of money to do X, Y, or Z, and when X, Y, or Z is completed, we never seem to get rid of the positions that were put into place to fund or to accomplish X, Y, Z. They keep doing things to make sure their job doesn't go away.
Well, let me tell you.
And that's just human nature.
And I agree with that, and I gave you the March of Dimes as an example of that.
Exactly.
Got rid of polio, but we still got the March of Dimes. You know, we get rid of feral cats, and we'll still have a humane society. So, you know, but my point is that, and I know you have experienced this, Trish. We've both been elected to office. We've both been in office. And, you know, people will come up and beat you about the head and shoulders about something you didn't have much or any control over. And frankly, I hold the theory that the higher you go in elected office,
the less control you have.
The less control you have, and generally, the less sensitive you are to the people in the community.
You get away from it because you don't deal with them on a regular basis.
Yeah, you're in Washington, D.C. What do you care what's going on in Anderson, California? Yeah. You know, except tangentially when it comes to your next election. Then you care a lot and you show up, right?
Yeah.
So
that seems to be the pattern.
It's the way things are.
I don't know about getting out of the local level. One of the reasons I never wanted to do that was because I felt like there was so little that could actually be accomplished. I mean, what chance? I mean, in reality, the nice Republican people that we elect from up here and send down to Sacramento or to Washington, D.C. have how much impact? Dead air. Yeah, exactly. So
that's the answer.
And that's the answer. And, you know, it's not that they don't try. And we've had some good representatives. I always think of actually Senator Nielsen is one of the people that I think has been able to be effective. From the time he represented us many years ago and until now, I think he has accomplished some good things. Water certainly is something that he's had some big input into and what have you. And it's not like they don't try. I think, as you indicate, as they start drinking the water when they get down there, and sometimes they forget what it was that made them go down there in the first place.
Well, more than that, I'm trying to make a pitch for your local elected people are doing the best they can do, for the most part.
And, in a lot of instances.
Yeah. And, you know, and it gets to be fewer instances the higher they are in office. And so, you know, don't take out on me what the feds made me do, you know. Don't take on the supervisors because of fire policies set by somebody else.
Yeah, no, and certainly at the county level, it's even worse than it is at the city level. Having done both city and county, I recognize that city councilmen can actually make some decisions about a lot more things than the board of supervisors can, because we are, by our very makeup, an arm of the state. And so about 98% of what we do because it's mandated by the state, and we're kind of the flow-through, take the heat at the local level, can't do anything about it branch.
All right.
And we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and then Ken's really going to stir the pot.
I want to talk about chemtrails.
You're listening to KCNR 1460 in Shasta, Reading, the community radio of the North Bay.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. It's starting to cool off in the mountains, so fill up those kerosene tanks before the price goes up. We'd like to remind all of our customers that we are CFN fleet-wide card locks at all of our locations, and Visa MasterCard will also be used 24/7. If you want to apply for credit online, it's northernlightsenergyinc.com. And don't forget to use the Pay Forward account. Labor Day is not far off, so come on in and fill up on the ethanol-free 93 for all those weed eaters and lawnmowers. And also, gather up the empty barbecue bottles and stop in and see Gary. With fires dying down a little bit now, it's a great time to gather up the kids and head to the Intermountain Fair in MacArthur. The Junior Livestock Sale is on Monday after the breakfast, so come early and support our local 4-H and FFA kids. Northern Lights Energy, Corning, Weaverville, and Redding, and delivered to just about everywhere. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
At Pulse Urgent Care, their goal is to get you in and out quickly. Pulse Urgent Care is open 7 days a week in their newly expanded facility from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m., providing care for the entire family, from infants to great-grandparents. If you suffer from allergies, visit newly expanded Pulse Urgent Care today for short-term allergy relief. For more information, call 722-1111 or walk in to Pulse Urgent Care on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart in Reading. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
Bark and Wine.
Don't forget Brew.
Yes, Brew also. Hoping you will join us Saturday, October 4th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center for the 7th Annual Haven Humane Wine and Beer Tasting with sit-down dinner, live and silent auction, and basket drawings.
This event is our premier fundraising event to help the animal population of our area. For tickets and more information, call Haven Humane Society or go on havenhumane.net.
You did that very well.
Well, I'm not as dumb as you think I am.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Bill.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream media soundbites every Sunday morning from 8 to 10. We dig into the politics of public policy, land use, and Agenda 21. We cover smart growth, immigration, veterans affairs, education, guns, mining, timber, water, and the many, many scams of sustainable development.
You know, for almost 4 years, we've spoken to famous and not-so-famous people from around the world who bring a perspective of limited constitutional government, fiscal responsibility, free markets, and common sense.
Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us for extensive archives and upcoming show information.
It's the most fun you can have with topics that will make your blood boil.
Join us for We the People Radio every Sunday morning from 8 to 10 here at KCNR 1460 AM.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff this and every Sunday for a full 2 hours of in-depth discussion with the experts in their field. Things you won't hear in the mainstream media. We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Okay, and welcome back. This is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. It's Trish Clark and Ken Murray this week. You can join us by jumping into the chat room at kcnr1460.com or giving us a call at 605-4567. Going to be about 95 degrees in Reading today.
What are the Board of Supervisors doing spending 3 hours listening to chemtrail advocates? You know, there's some things I just don't understand in life, and that's one of the big ones. What is it that makes anybody believe that the federal government can keep a secret from all of us when Bill Clinton can't keep his private sex life with Monica Lewinsky a secret, Nixon can't keep six guys under control with a break-in at Watergate? And yet we think there's this massive secret cover-up going on, that there's switches in planes that pilots flip to geoengineer us all. The government can't keep secrets. They're notoriously terrible at keeping secrets. I don't get it.
Well, and I guess probably where I have to right up front say that this is not a subject that I am knowledgeable about because I generally dismiss it. Because for me, having been involved in the pilot profession, around pilots for all of my adult life, I can't get there. I mean, even if they can, and I don't always believe that our government has our best interests in mind, and I think that that's certainly not beyond my wildest speculation.
But it's not a secret they don't have our best interests.
Exactly. But my problem has always been the sheer process of getting all of these pilots to flip the switch, if
it's
you will.
It's not happening.
I mean, and it for me, it makes perfect sense that what is happening out there with the more jets we have and airplanes over the years have changed so dramatically in the power and the heat and the everything that's happening with those engines is so totally different than they were when the Wright brothers were flying their airplanes, that the explanation that it's condensation and that we're seeing out there makes perfect sense to me.
Me too. And I don't, you know, why is somebody going to go out and test dirt? I mean, if you want to know what's coming out of airplanes, why don't you test gasoline or something?
Well, and test the
aviation fuel
and put screens on the backs of the jet engines or somehow to detect what's coming out of them. But yeah, I don't know. I just have, and I know there's a lot of well-meaning people who I quite often agree with on a lot of their stuff who talk about these chemtrails, and that's just one I just can't get there on.
I think it's paranoia run amok.
Well, I can't believe you haven't even got the phone to ring.
Well, you know, I figure they're just taking notes. They're going to call Carl as soon as he gets back.
And want to know why in the world they had these two people on for the whole week.
Don't ever let those idiots on there again. Roller derby.
You know,
we can't do chemtrails. We'll do roller derby.
We'll do roller derby. And the roller derby is coming to the North State. And of course, it's here. But this weekend at the Red Bluff Fairgrounds in Tama County Fairgrounds in Red Bluff, they're going to have a big roller derby time.
You ever been to one?
Yes, I have. And actually, the local Cubs here, I've been to several of them that they have. They different places. And used to go to Oakland, to the Oakland Bay Bombers. Joni Weston, and I can't think of the guy's name.
Oh, the enemy. I was a fan of the Thunderbirds, Los Angeles Thunderbirds.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah. Oh, and, you know, that was fun stuff.
I mean, it was fun.
Oh, great fun.
It's
great
like
fun.
Wrestling on wheels.
Exactly. Okay, we do have a phone call.
Oh, wait a minute. Billy Bob is calling, and Billy Bob, I assume you have something to say about chemtrails.
I fully agree with you, Ken, and that's a hoax, and it's all made up. Yeah, there's no way that's been happening. So anyway, I just wanted to comment before you disappear on us that I've thoroughly enjoyed your commentary and your expertise during the week, and you've done a great job, Trish, of filling in.
Thanks, Bob.
Again, I just wanted to say one thing about that Water Quality Control Board. Mm-hmm. That's the best example of how California is wasting money. I mean, how many millions of dollars does that take us to run in all the payrolls, mm-hmm. paper pushing, and everything else? And they're worthless. So anyway,
Not only are they worthless, they're dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, it's absolutely ridiculous, and that's the reason for the state of Jefferson. We'll drop them like a dirty pair of shorts.
There you go. We won't have one of those boards when we're a new state.
Thank you.
Thanks, Billy Bob.
I can't believe it. Nine five-member boards for the nine regions, and 1 7-member board overseeing the 9 5-member. That's 52 appointees overseeing one of the most, if not the most, powerful agency in California, and not one of them got elected to do anything.
Well, and you know, we can talk just politics in general, because that certainly is where I think we've gone totally astray. Every once in a while, probably about once a year, I get this email that explains how democracies are never intended to last, and this is the history of them, and they go on and on and on.
Right.
And I get it from people who are very well-meaning and what have you, and my response is always, well, that's probably very true, and part of the reason that we're in trouble is because we have forgotten that we are not a democracy. We are a republic.
Right.
And if you read anything about our founding fathers and their conversations as they were putting us together, they recognized that democracies didn't work, and that's why they put in a republic.
If we were a democracy, everybody would have a computer, and every policy issue would be decided by pressing a yes or no key. That's a democracy.
Right.
In a representative republic, you don't do that. You elect somebody else to make those decisions because you trust them.
And I can't tell you the number of times that people came to me in the 20 years that I was an elected official and said, we ought to be able to vote on that. We ought to be able to vote on that.
No, you
and
shouldn't.
I would say, no, actually not. I get to vote on that. You elected me to make those decisions on your behalf. Now, if you don't like the decisions I'm making, you do get to vote. You can vote me out of office next time.
The best example I know of that was Senator Fred Marler. Years ago, Senator Marler was our senator. He went on to become a third district court of appeals judge. And I asked him one time, I said, how do you decide? I mean, do you take a poll before you make a vote? Or, I mean, because a lot of guys in Sacramento do that. They make, mm-hmm. they take a poll before they decide how they're going to vote on something.
Right.
He says, nah, he says, I got an automatic system. He says, I vote exactly what my conscience tells me. And if my conscience gets out of sync with the people, voters in my district, they'll vote me out of office. And I'm fine with that.
And I absolutely concur. And we do have a phone call. We're going to go to Leon on line one. Good
Hello,
morning,
Leon.
Good morning. You know, if you had a car out here on the road that spewed this stuff, they'd park your car like what's going up in the sky out there. Mm-hmm. And you can get up in the morning, you can look at the sky, it'll be perfectly blue. Mm-hmm. And those guys fly over, and by the afternoon, the sky is hazy, mm-hmm. and not all jets are putting that out. But I disagree with you on that. I suspect
that the reason the sky is hazy in the afternoon is because you got in your car in the morning and everybody else did, and all of those fumes are rising up into the atmosphere and making
it. Well, I'm not saying that there's not pollution out here from cars, but you look at those jets and they'll fly parallel to each other, and by the afternoon all those lines float into each other, and it creates just kind of a cloud of haze. But, you know, they stay together for a while, and all those lines will come together after a while.
Okay.
It just sets there.
All right, Leon.
So you need to look up. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, Leon. We're going to go to line two, and Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Hi, Trish and Ben.
Hi.
Listen, about the chemtrails and contrails, Trish, you were talking about the exhaust coming out of jet engines.
Yes.
And the exhaust coming out of jet engines sometimes leaves contrails, which is condensation.
Right.
Condensation disappears after a short while, maybe about a minute.
Well, wait a minute. It disappears depending on the atmospheric conditions and the wind and the upper atmosphere.
No.
Yeah.
No, I mean, sometimes it's longer, sometimes it's shorter, but eventually it disappears. The chemtrails that Dane Wigington and all the other people were talking to the supervisors about stays in the atmosphere. And if you actually, you know, go out and look in the sky a lot and see airplanes, and they leave different styles of contrails, one will leave a contrail, and another will leave a trail that does not go away. It widens, it goes out, it disperses, it creates clouds. That's what they're talking about. They're not talking about anything different.
But that's,
and Ted, you talked about why, you know, how this thing could be kept a secret. It's not a secret. You know about it. Everybody knows about it. The problem is it's marketing. They've made it so that if you believe this stuff, people think you're crazy. So they've done a brilliant job about doing that.
Who's they?
They, the people who are doing this.
Who?
And who are they?
Yeah,
military, industrial. I mean, the military-industrial complex has not gone away. It's just changed.
Why are they doing it? Why are they doing it? What's their point?
They probably started it because they probably believed that global warming was indeed going on, so they needed to do something about it. And they've been doing research from back in the 50s on how to control weather. I mean, there's a whole group of people in the military that work on this stuff. So
right.
they figured out how to control weather, and now they're just doing it in large. And they think they're doing some good by trying to keep global warming in check.
But so all these people actually believe in global warming, which, again, you lose me because it's climate change, and it's been happening since the beginning of time. And they do with global warming.
I agree with you 100% on that. In fact, I was a big global warming denier, and I read lots and lots of stuff about it. And in the last year, I've started to pay attention to what these people were saying about contrails, and it's scary. I mean, if 10% of what they say is true, is going on, is true, then we're in a lot of trouble.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your comments, Jim.
People need to bring this out so that the media can force our government to admit to what's going on. Because it's, I mean, please, go outside and look up. Get a documentary from Dane Wigington, or there's a great documentary called Look Up. You know, get informed about it. It's something that's really serious. It's really, really serious.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Appreciate your input. And we're going to go to a break now.
All right, we're going to thank two more of our sponsors, Redding Crown Motors. If you're looking for a new or previously owned car, truck, or SUV, Redding Crown Motors, your Ford, Dodge, Ram, Lincoln, Nissan, and Honda dealership. Go ahead and give them a call at 223-2177. Also, Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Give Jeff a call at 241-8373. He can repair chips and cracks up to 24 inches long. So give Jeff a call or go to his address at 3208 Market Street, or give him a call at 241-8373. You are listening to KCNR 1460 in Shasta, Redding.
Mary's great-grandsons, Vincent and Luigi here, telling everyone about Mary's Pizza Shack's 55th anniversary Sonoma Getaway Giveaway.
What's the getaway?
Visit Mary's before August 25th and enter to win one of our weekly prize packs.
With the $55 gift certificate.
Or the grand prize of a weekend for four in Sonoma at the Fairmont Sonoma Mission Inn.
What was it like back in the day?
Mary made her homemade pizzas, pastas, and salads with her secret family recipes.
So good.
Mary was one of the nicest people you ever met. Sounds like Nani. What about the meatballs? Were they as big as my head? Luigi, nobody can see how big your head is on the radio.
Oh.
Stop by your favorite shack to enter Mary's 55th anniversary Sonoma Getaway Giveaway. And thank you to all of our customers over the years.
Original recipes. Original shack. Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
No purchase necessary to win. For complete rules and alternate form of entry, visit maryspizzashack.com.
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with 5 types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Everybody calls us summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's going to make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
And welcome back to Free Fire Radio, community radio for the North State. You have been listening to Trish Clark and Ken Murray all week long. We're in our final segment. You can join us in the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567.
I want to comment on what Jim said. You know, again, this is part of what I don't understand about the paranoia about chemtrails. What I do understand about atmosphere is that the wind blows at different elevations and sometimes in two different directions depending on the elevation. Anybody that flies a plane knows that.
Exactly.
Okay? And if that what appears to be white smoke, which is in fact condensation, hangs around in the sky, there ain't any wind. If it doesn't hang around in the sky, there is wind. If there isn't any condensation, there isn't any moisture up there. And why are they flying in the same direction? Well, because the FAA says that there are these highways in the sky. If you're flying north to south, you have to fly at XYZ elevation. If you're flying east to west, it's a different elevation. They do that so planes don't run into each other. But the whole concept of having a switch in the cockpit, you know, yes, the military industrial complex did some climate engineering. It's called cloud seeding, okay? And they did cloud seeding, and as far as I know, they still do. And if we had any clouds, I wish they were up there seeding them right now.
Then we could use some rain.
But that's a totally different thing. Then this chemtrails as part of geoengineering foisted on the public. It just makes absolutely no sense that anybody is ever going to keep that kind of secret.
Okay, let's go to Coach Bob on line one.
Hi, guys. Thanks. You know, in the early and mid-50s, when I was a kid standing in my front yard out on Victor Avenue, I used to see the jet trails in the sky. My dad and I would talk about them all the time. You know, they sometimes hung around all day long then, and I really try to choke down the idea that somebody was, in the advent of jet travel, was putting something in the atmosphere on purpose way back then. I just don't see it, and I agree completely with what you said a moment ago, Ken. You know,
okay.
If these people are spraying us, they're also spraying themselves.
Right.
And makes just no sense whatsoever. I don't think there's 72 virgins waiting for any of these people who are trying to kill themselves. It makes no sense at all. And anyone with just a little bit of common sense can look at this and say, this is just silly. Because and until some whistleblower comes out and says, well, this is what I did, and I was ordered by so-and-so, and here's my documentation. Uh-uh.
Thanks for your comments, Coach. And that, you make a really good point there about the fact that because this is so absolutely everybody's going to be impacted, they're impacting themselves, their families, their kids, everybody they know. That's a really good point.
Anybody who's ever been married doesn't want to die and have 72 virgins anyway. I got about global warming, as long as I'm, you know, ranting and raving about things. You know, I believe that there is a significant impact on the environment because of human activities, okay? I don't have any problem with that. I think our remediation efforts, however, are a joke, like the carbon tax and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, the buying of credits and all of that kind of stuff.
You know, okay, so there's global warming. Okay, it's human-caused.
To some extent.
Maybe even to a major extent. But the remediation measures that are posed because of that make absolutely no sense, since I know that as soon as this volcano that's getting ready to erupt in Iceland blows its top, it's going to eradicate everything human beings have done to clean up the atmosphere in the last 100 years.
Well, and we turn around and do other things. Boy, the timber industry is an absolutely perfect example of we've decided that we don't want to manage our renewable resources, and we haven't done that effectively for about 25 years now. So every year, just in the state of California, the impact from the fires that are burning as hot and as treacherously as they are, burning up all of our timber that we're not cutting anymore, there isn't any remedial efforts we could take ever that would account for what's happening just in the atmosphere from those fires.
Now, keep in mind, we have the Regional Water Quality Control Board is all part of the California Environmental Protection
Agency.
Oh,
and that would be a whole show.
Well, But think now relate this, the Environmental Protection Agency, to timber, okay? They were saying for years, you know, you got to do something about the long-term impacts of your logging operations. So what happens? A very, very good timber company by the name of Sierra Pacific came out with a 100-year sustainability plan. And they gave the Environmental Protection Agency exactly what they wanted. But all of a sudden, well, if you're going to do that, then we're going to change the rules so you can't make it work anymore.
There you go. There you go. You know, I think it's the whole thing with the environment and timber production and everything that has gone on with it, that certainly is something that we continue to probably have the biggest effects of any of the environmental actions that's been taken here in the North State, because we lost our middle class as a result of the loss of the timber industry and the mills that went along with it, all the jobs in the forest, the trucking industry, transportation, to say nothing of the cost of timber and the fact you can't even get decent timber anymore. And that was all over a spotted owl that the first place wasn't endangered, and the second place didn't like old growth.
Well, let's just talk about evolution, okay? The spotted owl is now going away because the barred owl is interbreeding with them.
little suckers wouldn't stay where they were supposed to be.
Yeah.
Intermixing there.
Yeah, and you know, nature takes its course.
It certainly does.
And ocean levels are rising and nature's taking its course, and a lot of people on islands are going to have to move inland, or they're going to have to move to the mainland. And people in San Francisco may have to move to Redding, and people who live in Los Angeles in the middle of a frickin' desert are maybe going to have to move to a different desert in Arizona.
You know, but when I first moved to California, they people used to say that they were going to have the huge, big earthquake, and it was going to wipe the state of California off the map. And after living in the Bay Area for some time and Southern California, until I moved up to Northern California, I never quite saw the problem with that. I thought it might be a cheaper way to solve issues than anything I could think of.
Well, Tricia, for the last week, I've had a great time being with you. Who is it?
Carl and Linda Bott.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week.
Well, I'm old. Okay, they're going to be back next Thursday or Friday or something.
Yes.
And we're not going to be here next week until you'll be here Thursday.
I'll be here Thursday. I do Thursdays.
But I've had a great time. Not everybody agrees with me, and that's okay. I don't agree with everybody either. And I think people can take, hopefully, a lesson. Trish and I disagree about a lot of things. But we are civil to each other, and we get along fine. And there isn't enough of that in local government anymore.
I think that's exactly true. I look back I represented the city of Anderson, and certainly there is and always will be the issues between the little city and the big city. I remember when I first got involved, I would come and listen to meetings. There was only two cities in Shasta County at that point. And I would sit in meetings as a representative from the city of Anderson and constantly hear the talk about the city and the county and the city and the county and the city and the county. And I would inevitably stand up, you will probably remember, and say, "Why do we keep talking about San Francisco?" And they would look at me rather strange, and I'd say, "Well, there are two cities in Shasta County, Redding and Anderson. You keep saying the city and the county, and I always referred to San Francisco as the city."
But. We got along, and we were civil.
And we did. And the point is, so there are always those issues. And then when I moved to the county, we would have city discussions. But you're right. They were always civil. We were always friendly. And we did meet often and work out problems.
But even
something I don't see so much anymore, and I think they maybe need to get back to that.
But even when you were on the Board of Supervisors, there were heated debates between the supervisors.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
But they were civil.
They were.
I appreciate Carl and Linda letting me be on the station this week. If you've got your list about why they should never have me back, be sure and save it and give it to them when they get back.
The next time they get ready to leave. and I, too, have enjoyed being here this week, and I hope you enjoyed listening to KCNR 1460 AM radio.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
Thomas and Ian Washington. They may not have gotten the tens of millions of dollars in ransom they demanded, but one analyst says the terrorists who killed American James Foley got something else of value, the publicity they crave.
From that perspective, the Foley assassination was a tremendous success for them. They're all over the internet. They're all over the wires. They're all over the newspapers.
Matthew Levitt with the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Last week, the terrorist emailed the victim's parents, threatening to execute their son if they didn't get money and U.S. policy changes. This morning, James Foley's father, John, was on NBC's Today Show.
I actually was excited to see an email despite the conclusion that they would execute Jim. I underestimated at that point. I did not realize how brutal they were.
Terrorists opened fire today on worshippers at a Sunni mosque about 75 miles northeast